ISIS has claimed responsibility for last night's attack that killed at least 22 people and injured dozens more at a huge concert in Manchester, England. ISIS making the claim through one of its official news outlets and calling the attacker a soldier of the caliphate. Of course, we don't know if ISIS even had contact with the attacker. But recently, as the border with Syria has tightened, ISIS has told followers to stay home and attack where you are with cars, bombs, knives. So what is the status of ISIS? Seth Jones is director of the International Security and Defense Policy Center at RAND. And Seth, we're reading of ISIS recruiters on the internet talking directly to attackers, even sometimes right up to an attack. You know, we sometimes think of attackers as lone wolves, but how many are directly guided by ISIS recruiters?
Well, ISIS has a number of approaches that they are implementing right now. They certainly are reaching out to individuals to encourage them to conduct attacks. And in that case, what we've seen is instances where individuals have been communicating with them directly through encrypted apps, including WhatsApp, and other forums, including jihadist websites, so directly communicating with them. But we're also seeing a range of other more informal encouragement to incite attacks. So no direct communication, but comments from ISIS leaders, including Baghdadi, to encourage people in their home countries, across the West, for example, to conduct these kinds of very simple attacks.
Well, and the U.S. with drone strikes has been able to reach into some of these, you know, so-called ISIS cyber planners. Riki was a famous one who was killed in a drone strike, but he was directly communicating with, you know, a young man in Virginia. I mean, they are directly communicating through the internet and these encrypted sites.
There's no question that ISIS individuals and actually Al-Qaeda as well are directly communicating with individuals in the West, including in the United States, as well as in the UK and across Europe, to incite them to conduct attacks in their areas. And as the so-called caliphate in Iraq and Syria for ISIS continues to lose territory, the group has increasingly reached out to individuals not to come to Iraq and Syria, but to conduct those attacks in their own countries. It's just easier logistically to do it that way.
Now, last week, Defense Secretary James Mattis said that the U.S. was pursuing an accelerated operation against ISIS to end the phony caliphate, and that there actually was success even prior to that in the Obama administration in tightening the borders, shutting down the border crossings, people traveling to Syria to train. But it sounds like what you're saying is it's the old phrase whack-a-mole, that it's moved onto the internet or maybe into other countries. What other countries are you worried about that may be taking up where Syria and Iraq are letting off?
Well, what's actually pretty stunning across the board is how much territory ISIS has actually lost. They have controlled bits and pieces of territory, not just in Iraq and Syria, but also in Egypt, in Libya, in Afghanistan, and in Nigeria under Boko Haram. They have cell structures in a much larger area. And U.S. and other efforts have actually significantly curbed their control of territory. But there are active jihadist battlefields in several of them. One of the more concerning ones is Libya right now. Outside of Iraq and Syria, there are probably more violent extremists there than almost anywhere else right now. And it's very close to Europe, just across the Mediterranean. So Libya is certainly has blinking red right now in its threat.
And it feels as if we've seen an increase in these ISIS-inspired attacks. You mentioned the bridge, the arena. Is that because they've been so successful in recruiting, or are we seeing sort of last gasps? I mean, how would you characterize where we are right now?
Well, I think there are a number of reasons why we're seeing an increase in ISIS violence and a growth in areas across the world where they're conducting attacks. Again, they're losing territory. That data is pretty significant. I've looked at the declines and calculated the percentages across the countries where ISIS has lost territory. Part of this may be the resources they've had to spend to control areas in Iraq and Syria and Afghanistan and Libya and Nigeria and other countries. The resources, when they control territory, are generally devoted towards state building. And when they lose that territory, they are, in a sense, freeing up those resources for other purposes, including external operations. So part of this may also be those resources that they once devoted to controlling territory, they're now using for encouraging people to fight overseas.
Huh,
that may be part of the explanation.
Well, others have said that their economic model is changing But they've pointed to another aspect that they're losing and losing territory. They're losing, for instance, things like high revenue producing oil wells. And that's where they'd gotten their money. So perhaps also they don't have as much money.
Well, the issue is to conduct terrorist attacks, including the one that we've seen recently in Manchester, it doesn't require much money, especially if you're simply inspiring people. That doesn't cost a lot. It does cost a lot to run an area. So it's moving from an insurgent group that controls territory to a global terrorist organization that is conducting attacks, and it's much cheaper to conduct terrorist attacks than it is to run an area.
Right, to run a city. Seth Jones, director of the International Security and Defense Policy Center at RAND, with a look at ISIS the day after an attack the group is claiming. Seth, thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Robin.